Friends, I have a friend whose name is Nick Overdoon. He used to be the pastor of a church just a little ways away from here, First Christian Reformed Church on Taunton Road, which is at Mount Pleasant and Eglinton. Anyways, this past week, Nick told me a story that made me laugh. It seems that there was a five-year-old boy once who missed the annual Palm Sunday service because he had a tummy ache. Anyways, his dad came back from the church service holding a palm branch. And the little boy was curious, and he said, "Why do you have a palm branch, Daddy?" "Well," said his dad, "you see, when Jesus came into town riding on a donkey, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So today in church, we got some palm branches to celebrate Jesus coming into town." And the little boy replied, "Oh, shucks. The one Sunday I missed church and finally Jesus actually shows up." Well, that's how it is with church sometimes, isn't it? For kids, and if the truth be told, for many adults who attend church, and perhaps especially for the millions of Torontonians who hardly ever darken the door of a church, church seems a dull, boring exercise in irrelevant religion. Nothing ever happens in church. Well, I mean, except at Lawrence Park Community Church, of course, where all sorts of things happen. I mean, compared to many of the churches I've visited over the past 20 years, and I counted them up, there's at least 350 churches I've preached at in the last 20 years. Compared to all of them, or many of them, Lawrence Park Community Church is actually quite a happening place. I mean, between Wizard of Oz Sundays and Night of the Dead themed worship services and rockin' dogs and jazz and children's pageants and art shows and youth programs and Sunday school retreats and volunteerism. A lot actually happens in this church, especially if it isn't spring break. I mean, so much happens in this church that sometimes the staff is left gasping for air as we try to keep all those balls in the air. And that's just the staff. We shouldn't forget the volunteers who make all this stuff happen. I mean, it's a pretty good, interesting place, a busy place around here. But, as my friend Nick pointed out, we live in a culture, in a society that doesn't have that perspective on church anymore, and we live in a city where people sort of automatically grow up listening to the messages of mass media and their friends. People just grow up sort of assuming that organized religion, well, that is irrelevant. And then if you go to the Bible to look for an answer, for an alternative to that popular cultural perspective on religion, you go to the Bible, you discover actually that Jesus wasn't such a big fan of church either, or of synagogue or temple or whatever you want to call it in that day. We learn from the New Testament that Jesus only went to the temple in Jerusalem a few times. He did his teaching not in a beautiful sanctuary, but on a mountainside. He fed crowds beside the lake. He told parables outside of people's homes, but Jesus didn't go to church much. And in the passage we just read, on the day he finally gets to Jerusalem and he can go to the temple on Palm Sunday, we read that Jesus went to the temple and he merely looked around and left. The next day, Jesus went to the temple again and he did what no one else in that church or that religious building ever did before. He threw out all the business functionaries, the sacrifice traders, the food vendors, the business people. He threw out everyone who made a living off the pilgrims who came to the temple, Jesus was not much into organized religion. Now, Jesus did do unorganized religion. For example, on Palm Sunday, 2,000 years ago, the atmosphere on the street that led from the temple to the city gate was electric. Jesus came into town riding on a donkey, making the point that the religious leaders in Jerusalem and the Romans from Italy, they ought to get off their high horses and out of their war chariots, and they ought to rule with justice and compassion instead. And Jesus was being outrageous and daring and cheeky, and the crowd went nuts for this, and people tore off their coats and they laid them at the feet of the donkey, and children danced, probably didn't even understand why, but it was fun, and they were waving palm branches and singing hosannas, and the adults, they shouted praise and they laughed to see how silly Jesus was making their rulers and the Romans look. It was like William Nylander getting called up by the Leafs. It was like Jose Bautista doing a bat flip right there in the streets of Jerusalem. And Jesus was at the center of it. He was doing political religion. He was doing religious drama. He was doing dramatic spirituality. It was all rolled up into one. And none of it was in church. By comparison, most churches and sometimes even Lawrence Park Community Church, most churches are pretty staid, pretty predictable, don't you think? So I read a book recently, a trilogy actually, that reminded me of what church can be at its worst. Some of the youth in the church in particular might have read these books. It's the Silo series by Hugh Howey. They're really good. And the books are entitled Wool and Shift and Dust. Now, in these books, after a huge nuclear war, several thousand humans are eking out a living in a huge underground silo. It's about 150 stories tall, or actually deep, built into the earth. Now, the silos were built to survive this nuclear war, and they were built to last hundreds and hundreds of years until such time as the world was safe to live in again. So each silo, let's just say there was one for now, the silo was a complete self-contained community. It has enough supplies for hundreds of years. They're built on top of oil wells so that they can generate power, and that's at the lowest levels, and then there are stores and computers in the middle levels, and there's housing and government offices on the top levels of these silos, and it's all connected, not by elevator, just by a staircase. The silo has a sheriff and it has a mayor who carefully regulate food production and morale and how many babies are born. But what's really interesting about the silo is that after hundreds of years of living in the silo, it has killed the people's desire to find freedom beyond the walls. They don't know anything else. The silo is their safe, secure place. They have forgotten what cows are. They have forgotten what birds flying look like or singing sound like. They don't know what life on the streets could be. So in the novel, nobody wants out. It's only when a few intrepid, adventurous, daring rule breakers actually finally risk leaving the silo behind that real life begins again. And as I read them, the silo novels are a critique of how big organizations, the state, national government, corporations, churches, it's a critique of how these organizations often begin living for themselves, turning inward, rather than living for the purpose for which they were instituted, which is to give life to people and to neighbors and to exist for the good of the earth. Unfortunately, many people experience church like that silo. We know that. Church is for many people, and actually I know that because of where I come from in Christianity, a conservative church that was really into theology, people have fun with doing church as rules and regulations and fights about doctrine and tradition and making sure you're in the right place in the hierarchy and getting the Sunday routine exactly right and myths about what has happened or didn't happen in the past. And when you focus on church that way, where it's all about church, then it becomes really safe and it becomes predictable and it's organized and it's a club and you know everyone and it just feels good. That's organized religion. But Jesus wasn't a fan. So now what? I want to say two things. First, this isn't an either-or situation. Religion in the church or religion in the streets. You know, the truth is, Jesus never gave up on the synagogue completely. He went on Saturdays when one was nearby. Jesus did both religion on the streets and religion in the synagogue. The apostles Paul and Peter did both. Saint Francis of Assisi, Jean Vanier, Mother Teresa, even Rob Oliphant, they do both. They do religion in the church and religion on the street. But religion really needs both wings to fly. So this is kind of like an invitation. If organized religion is going to mean something for you, you just cannot restrict it to the Sunday silo. That is, you cannot restrict faith and prayer and those kinds of things to life in the church. The spiritual things we hope for, the love we profess, the truths that we treasure, must free themselves from, you know, this comfortable silo and be allowed to shape not just this 1 hour on Sunday, but it must be allowed to shape everything in the rest of our lives, 724. This spirituality that we find in this church is actually for work. It's something that we need to invest in as members of corporations. It informs our spirituality, how we vote on election day. It informs how we volunteer our time, how we do or don't offer a helping hand to someone who comes across our path, how we raise our kids, how we spend our money. Organized religion restricted to the Sunday morning church silo may be personally comforting for a little while, but it's exactly this kind of organized religion that is absolutely dead when it comes to the rest of our lives. That's why so many of the projects that we do in this church are vital, because they point to that connection between this hour and this group of people and the rest of life. So when we sponsor refugees, or we collect used clothing, or we have art shows that bring aesthetic delight into the church, or when we serve meals, these projects are not just important because they're good deeds, but these projects are actually symbolic of how we want our religious values out of church and into the rest of the world and the rest of our lives. But second, if church isn't a silo, and if we want to take our religion into the streets on a regular basis, then how are we to think of church? Well, here's a thought. Instead of thinking of the church as a silo, as a safe place, let's think of church as a heart. a heart pumps blood throughout your body. And as most of you know, it does so in two stages. There's the diastolic stage. During that stage, blood and from the body enters into the heart, and it's low in oxygen and it's low in important nutrients because it's just circulated through the body. In a way, it's exhausted blood, and your blood pressure, if you're healthy, falls to about 80 millimeters of mercury. But then in the systolic stage, the valves between the heart and the rest of the body open, and your heart beats, and your blood pressure rises to 120 millimeters of mercury, and all that tired blood gets pushed into your lungs where it's fed and it's aerated and it's propelled right through the rest of the body. That's what church is like. Church ought to be our systolic moment where we are pushed back into the world spiritually rejuvenated. In fact, we need the rhythm, a life so full and engaged, doing what we want to do and doing it the way we want to do it, that, you know, by Friday or Saturday, our spiritual energy for it has waned and we tire. We need a weekend boost. So then we go to church and we're rejuvenated and renewed and refocused and refriended and rejoiced over, and we just charge out of those doors ready to do our spiritual best again for another week, with an eager smile on our faces and a helping hand ready to go to work. Our systolic moment. The little boy that I began the sermon describing was not impressed by church because he couldn't find Jesus there. The highly political, in-your-face, Donkey Kong laughing Jesus of life. Couldn't find him. And of course, it's 2,000 years later, and so Jesus isn't going to march in through those doors at the back of the sanctuary. There isn't much we can do about that either. But what I'd like that little boy to experience, and what I'd like us to aim for as we come together for our systolic moment, what I'd like us all to aim for is that the Jesus we learn about in this church is the Christ that we want to be for others outside the doors. Amen.